We are now live. Okay, we're on page three, but I want to go back to page two for a minute. We're talking about Isaiah 26:3. We're looking at the steps involved. We looked at the key words in the text. Then we looked at the context or the essence of the verse, and we found the application, and we're talking about meditating on the applications. And there's two types of applications. Who knows what they are? Internal and external, okay? And what is an internal application? What is it? How do you define it?
Self-reflective, seeking God.
Self-reflective and seeking God. Why is something that's self-reflecting and seeking God thought of as an internal application? Why is that?
Your confidence in God.
That's true. Because it gives you confidence in God. It tells you who God is, and it gives you the strength you need and understanding you need to apply that external application. Can somebody give me an example of an external application? In our text, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How about the first word, thou? Why is that? Thou is an internal application. Why?
You're speaking directly to God.
He's speaking directly to us. That's true. In other words, but we're taking the idea that God is speaking to us. God is speaking to his children. I am his children. He knows me. He can speak to me. All of those things I take internally to give me the confidence that I need and the trust I need to come to him for everything. That's what an internal application does. It helps you to internally process the applications of God by knowing who you are in him. That's why it's seeking God or a reflection on yourself or seeking God. Anything like that. How about external? What's an external application? Yes, Carrie.
I have memory from last time. What you take and put into your life externally.
Yes. In other words, whatever's in God's word that you can take out and use it. A lot of people don't know how to do. Most people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to take the word of God and apply it. What they do is they pray it. I used to do that. Something would happen. Oh Lord, help me with this and help me with that. And all it was like shooting blanks. Spiritual blinks, because what was happening was I wasn't applying anything to my life. I was just crying out. And the difference between crying out and applying something is that you cry out with force, and you cry out with the ability to take that force and apply it to yourself, because it doesn't change. Remember, no application changes the situation. All that it does is help you deal with the situation. And so in doing that, I can take that force and put it in my life and say, yes, I can do this, because God tells me that he's given me all the strength I need in Jesus. So whatever it is I'm dealing with, no matter how difficult it is, whether it's an adversity, a sickness, or whatever, I can take that strength that he promises me and I can apply it to my life. All applications apply to you individually. It's the same thing as reading your Bible and then pulling out scriptures and just throwing them up in the air and they just float back down. Except now, when you say them, you meditate on them, now they become a shield. They become a rock. Now they harden your resolve to help you persevere through anything, no matter what it is. And that's why God says gift is a suffering, because it is a gift, because it helps you grow. But at the same time, it hurts, so he gives us the power to deal with it. And that's what an external application does. Okay, we're on page three. Starting page three. Let me go back to page two for a second. What was I saying? Okay, we started external applications. And it says, I'm going to just see where we. What do you need, page three?
Page three.
Yeah, okay. Well, Zach, you need one too? Yeah. Let me give you one for Zach.
Anyone else?
I don't think so.
That's it?
Yeah. So we're talking about you, the sovereign creator, omnipotent, et cetera, the internal application of God, and the key word was you. External application. First of all, we talked on page 2 about the internal application is that I know God. God knows me. I am part of his eternal adopted family. The Holy Spirit indwells and leads me. And I am eternally loved by him. So all of that is internal for my head to make me have a better understanding of what the word you means. And then the external application is I have the victory over Satan. References, James 4:7. Who knows what that says? Very simple verse. Somebody should know it by heart. Starts with the word resist. Resist the devil and he will flee. He doesn't say, put him up. He doesn't say, take your sword and slice him up in little pieces. He doesn't say any of that. He said, resist him.
Master, and the first line says, submit yourself.
Yeah.
And in order to resist the devil, you've got to have God in you solid.
It's good. Now, see, that brings up the question. Good question. So it says, before resist the devil, submit yourself to God. So what's the purpose of putting those two passages together? In other words, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. What happens? And what is it?
Resist the devil, he shall flee from you. Draw near to God, and he shall draw
okay.
near you.
So,
so you're resisting, and you're drawing near.
Mm-hmm. But you're submitting first.
Yeah.
That's the key.
It's a God power. It's the power from God.
Yes, it's not our power. When it says submit to God first, and then it says resist the devil, and then it says draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you, there's a sequence there. Understand this, the Bible is written in such a way that the way it was organized, I don't care if it's numbers, I don't care if it's a sin list, it was organized the way God wanted it, and that's the way it is, period. And if he put that in there, submit yourself first, he did that because he knows that is our greatest human weakness. Submitting to God is our greatest human weakness. So first we submit, then we can resist. What happens if we don't submit ourselves to God? Who's fighting the devil?
Me.
How you gonna do it?
What does submit mean? I haven't looked it up.
Submit means trust, obey, love. Trust, obey, love.
Yielding
to God. Yeah. Yielding to God gets you over yourself. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, read. That's what I